All right, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13, please. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read one verse of Scripture. Notice, remember those who rule over you. Better translated, who lead you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. You see that? Let me give you just a thumbnail sketch, kind of a recap of that. Hebrews 13:7. It says here that we should remember those who lead us. Notice who have spoken the word of God to us. Notice we should follow their faith, provided is the understood condition, provided that their conduct is right. Right? Provided that their conduct is right. We said in so many words last week that we can be dazzled by someone's understanding of the word. But how many of y'all know that what really, really matters is if their lifestyle backs up that teaching? Bottom line. Right? I mean, we hear horror stories. I heard a horror story. I read about it this past week about a pastor, and I don't know if it was in Texas, that had been providing methamphetamines to a 15-year-old girl and was sexually abusing her for months. And I'm glad he's caught. He was a pastor of a Baptist church. And, you know, I get tired of reading all that, don't you? I mean, that just sets the church back. That just gives us, good churches, you know, in the minds of a few people, gives them fodder for them to attack us. Well, did you read about so-and-so? You know, that's one thing. That's the extreme case. But how many of y'all know that you know, I can stand up here, I can look good, I can smell good, but if I don't live a life, barring any Walmart experience some of you might have had yesterday. Okay, so I've got to be able to show proof that I live what I teach, that I have the right conduct coupled with the right teaching. Can I get a witness on that? How many of y'all know that we all need people to speak the word of God to us? You know, I believe that the word of God prepared and taught is the best illustration I have to illustrate God's word. You know, you have different Bible teachers. They have different anointings, different insights, different experiences. And I'll tell you, there's some ministers of the word that know how to teach the word that I'm just in awe of. There are others that are kind of shoddy, if I can say that, that need to read all their Bibles and study all their Bibles and not just preach on one little topic, you know. And but we have to understand that teaching, Bible teaching, is a lot like going to different steakhouses. You know, some steakhouses are better than others, right? They prepare the meat, the steak, differently. Right? I had some, what was it, ribeye sandwich. It was good. It was edible. You know, for lunch, it was good. But it's not Alexander Steakhouse. I'll hand you that right now. Isn't that good steak? Or it was not Big Ed's. When my family and I lived in Kansas, we drove about a 10-mile distance to go to this steakhouse, and it was awesome. Because there were cattle ranches there, and the meat was fresh, and it was prepared amazing. So, you know, it's just different places prepare steak differently. Different teachers of the word will prepare the word differently, right? But it's not, listen carefully, it's not just the flavor of your steak. It's also the way the cook is living his life, so to speak. You know, I have found, if I can say it this way, since we're on steakhouses, I have found that some Bible teachers are more sizzle than steak. I'll let that sink in. Can I get a witness? And some of them are so much fluff, it's nothing but cotton candy week in and week out. Can I get a witness? Right? And we have to teach all the word. Okay, enough of that. Now, we said all that to say that we all need people to speak into our lives. We cannot live this journey of faith by ourselves, and we cannot walk it alone. You know, no man is the saying, no man is an island unto himself. No woman is an island unto herself. We all need others to speak into our lives. Why is that important? Well, we read Hebrews. Who would like to read Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17? I'm relying on sheer memory on this one. Mine, don't fail me now. Proverbs 27, 17, I think it is. And I think I'm right.
Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend.
Thank you. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend or a woman. We all need, who's ever discovered that by rubbing shoulders with other good people, godly people whom we trust, the lives that they are living are authentic, that their lifestyle will rub off on us? Who's found that out? Who's found that they can speak insight into our lives? Listen carefully, church family, can speak insight into our lives that will make us better people, maybe insights into the word we've never seen before. You know what one of my biggest pet peeves in ministry is? Some people would not learn from anybody else than Kenneth Copeland or Mike Bickle out of International House of Prayer in Kansas City, Kansas. Really? So that's the only person you're going to hear the word from. I'm not saying they're bad people, church family. You know, how many of y'all know that we need more than one person speaking into our lives? If you want to be a well-rounded individual and be more balanced and solid in the Lord, you will have many good voices speaking into your life. Okay? That is very, very important, church family, because everybody's got something to contribute to us, right? I believe everybody can speak something into our lives. Okay, so can I just kind of go a little further with that? You know, because sometimes I think that some of us have our hobby horse of truth. We all have our one topic that if we could teach till Jesus came back, if Jesus would give us our brothers, it would be that topic. Mine would be who we are in Christ. We all have our hobby horse, and some of us will not listen to other topics of the Bible, but the ones that we like and we pigeonhole. Can I get a witness? Right? You know, we shouldn't we understand the judgment of God and the wrath of God as much as we understand the goodness of God? Let me quote you a verse. Romans chapter 11, verse 22 says, "Consider the goodness and the severity of the Lord." Notice what that verse does not say. It does not say, "Consider only the goodness of the Lord." It says, "Consider the goodness," and the NIV reads, "the sternness of the Lord." So we've got to be careful and guard our hearts against just having little, I only want to hear about faith, faith, faith. Really? You don't want to hear about other topics than just faith? What, don't you want to hear messages on love, joy, peace? You just want to be all faith? How many of us know, church family, that if we're pigeonholing one topic only, we're going to get out of balance as a person? Right? We're going to go off. Number one, we become these kind of people. Number one, we become weird. Who's ever met weird Christians? I have. Yeah, they're lopsided. They're out of whack. They're out of balance. All they want to hear about, church family, is faith. I remember once when I was still in Effingham, I was mailing something off at the post office, and there was this gal in front of me. And I noticed she had a package that she was mailing a certain ministry name on it. And she said something to me. She said, "Wow, She said, this line takes a long time. And so she opened the conversation. I probed about her ministry box. She said, oh, my husband and I were just on an awesome conference. And she said, I wish if I was a millionaire, I would live from conference to conference and not have to work. Is that the Great Commission? Did Jesus say, I want you to go and sit at the feet of Brother Copeland, and sit at the feet of Brother Smith, and sit at the feet of Brother Lowe, and that's all I want you to do till I come back? What's that? That's called weird, man. We must guard against becoming weird. Hello? You know what I have found? The Christians that are most weird are the ones that don't have people speaking into their lives outside of the ones that they themselves have decided they will listen to. You're going to be a weird person. Avoid being a weird Christian. There was, we had lunch with Terry and Connie, yes. They were talking about the largest church in Peoria, and which is Richwoods, I think it is. Big church. Well, in my comings and goings, I met a person that them and their spouse attend that church. And they were big, listen carefully, church family, I hope I'm not stepping on toes. They were big on conspiracy theories. And she said, oh, she was just all bubbly and giddy. And I'm telling you, those are the ones that you got to watch out for, because they are. And she said, I'm a believing. I've heard news from the horse's mouth. In this tone of voice, I've heard news from the horse's mouth. And this was back 3 months ago. President Biden is going to be ousted out of office. You mark it down. I said, what? I said, miss, are you sure? Oh, I'm telling you, heaven and earth will pass away, but this prophecy will not pass away. What do you call that? Weird? Wishful thinking? That's good. You know, can we just be real people and quit this little act? You know, the bad part of that is that, how many of y'all know that it just doesn't stop with them? Some people are going to think, these dudes are weird. I remember, I won't say who it was, but someone close to me way back, they're now in heaven, but they said they could take control. They said that their parakeet was demon-possessed. And that they took authority of that parakeet and they made it climb up their arm. And I'm like, golly. Of all the things, church family, that we should concern ourselves with, trying to train a stupid parakeet that you think is demon possessed to jump up and down your arm is not anywhere close to anything the Bible teaches. Weird. Thank you. That is weird. I've heard people in the name of the Lord say, I believe the Lord once spoke to me and my wife should not, I should not take my wife to deliver her baby. She needs to stay home and deliver it herself. And I'm thinking, weird. Why? Because they did not have people speaking the word of God. They did not have people speaking common sense, which, trust me, church family, not only is the culture devoid of common sense, who's found out that the body of Christ needs a huge dose, a mega dose of common sense? Who cares about stupid parakeets being possessed by demons? Really? I'm not making that up. Not making that up. Weird people. Number two, if we don't have other people, we're going to be gullible. Who's ever been duped? Who was around? You know, I love to flesh it out with examples. Who remembers 88 reasons why Jesus Christ is coming back in 1988? What? They did, like hotcakes. Dr. Edgar Wisenant was the author's name. Listen, my in-laws believed that he was coming back in 88, and I thought, well, Jesus didn't come back, and the guy wrote another book, and he said, oops, I miscalculated by 1 year, 89 reasons why Jesus Christ is coming back in 1989. Where I lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, Tulsa is Tulsa-Rusalem. You know, that's the mecca of all big Christian ministries, ORU and Rhema and all of those big ministries and T.L. Osborne ministries and all these peeps. We have to be very careful. Okay, so let's fast forward to Y2K. How many of y'all heard of those Christian ministries? They called it something like Joseph's stash or something. Because remember, Joseph prophesied or had a dream or interpreted a dream that there would be 7 years of prosperity, 7 years of famine, the fat cows, the weak cows. And so these ministries came up with that title, basically. So they were telling you, listen, we have non-perishable goods. Buy from us because you need to stockpile on guns. I'm sure there's a lot of men in here that would love that one. We need to stockpile on generators. We need to have generators. We need to stockpile on ATVs. We need to stockpile on... Who remembers that, if any? I remember that. Toilet paper, yes. You know, and I think that was the beginning of the what they call now the Y2K preppers, right? The doom preppers. And what happened? One guy said he bought a generator and somebody stole it. There was a lady in my church at the time. She was a very well-to-do lady. Her husband was a big operation farmer. And she was constantly coming to my office. She was one of the most annoying people because she wouldn't come into my office to just talk about something. She always came bearing the gifts of stacks of research paper on why Y2K was going to happen. And I said, sorry, I was trying to be nice. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's for us. I don't think it's going to happen. Pastor, you have to. And so she bought all this stuff, non-perishable. She bought stockpiled on armaments. I'm thinking, we're Christians? And we're going to shoot people because we believe they're going to come and steal our food? Whatever happened to sharing to those in need? I mean, can I ask a question like this? I'm going to say it anyway. Sorry, I'm going to catch myself. I'm going to quit asking questions, can I? I'm just going to go for it. Are we that stupid as Christians? Do we not understand the spirit of what Jesus said? That if someone takes your coat, give them your robe as well? Or are we going to shoot every person that treads my property, bless the Lord? I'm going to send their soul to hell in the name of Jesus. If they so much as pose a threat to my Wheaties. This is unbelievable. See, this is what happens. People get gullible. For the longest time, there was in the body of Christ, in the more charismatic circles, and I know this because I was in my 20s, in my mid-20s, early 90s, and there was this lady with a long robe, and she said she would go into this kind of euphoric state, and she would flap her arms, and all of a sudden these feathers would come out of her arms and oil, and people bought, listen to me, people bought it. People, did you hear about that one? No. She would be like, ka, 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 ka. And they thought it was the Holy Spirit manifesting himself. People went for it, fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. You're liking this teaching, right, Kiki? That's where the parakeet came out, that blasted demon-possessed parakeet. But she'd be doing this, and people would like fall on their faces and all this. You know, really? Really? Are we that stupid? Are we that stupid? Where is discernment? You know where that happens, church family? Once again, we have tunnel vision. No one can say anything to us. Whatever they say, try to speak correction into our lives, we're not going to believe. We're not going to listen because in our minds, we're convinced we are right. Do you see the necessity of having some people with sanity in their heads speak into our lives? Do we see that necessity? What about the many times that people said, Jesus Christ is coming back? And every single time, I remember having this, I had this conversation with my mother-in-law. I love them. I still love them to this day. I can hardly wait till I see them in heaven. I really can. But they were gullible people. And I remember once I sat down with, because she was talking, you know, she was the first one that did the Jesus 88 and then the Jesus 89. And then she went on and on. And I said, Mom, I said, at what point do you quit going back to the cotton picking drawing board and drawing up a brand new reason that Jesus is coming back when your track record does not speak highly of you? Do you see the wisdom now why the scripture says, don't just listen to the teaching, look at their lives? I'm going to go there, church family. Listen, how about the many quote-unquote prophets that said President Trump was going to win for a second term? And they said, they used the name of the Lord, thus says the Lord. And you what? You know what? Instead of repenting and saying, I was wrong, I did not hear God, and to use the word that Jeremiah the prophet used when the Lord spoke to Jeremiah, he said there are false prophets that prophesy out of their very own imaginations. And not from me, says the Lord. You would have thought they would have repented, but no, they backtrack and they kind of covered their tracks and say, well, it did not happen because the Lord had different stipulations. Look, man, just quit this shuck and jive. Come forward and repent. Who would agree with me that we should be thankful that we don't live under the old covenant? Because if you so much as made one bad prophecy, number one, you became a false prophet. If you were a false prophet, they would take you out behind the woodshed and stone you to death. I'm telling you what. Part of me feels like there should be some of that today, because not a lot of people would be running around with the title prophet and quoting these false prophecies. Listen, how many of y'all know, you don't have to agree with me or whatever, I'm just going to say it. But listen, we got to stop this baloney and open our eyes and see that there's a job to get done, and we don't have a lot of time to get it done in. And here we are playing all these goofy games in the name of, well, the Lord spoke to me. Really? Repent and ask God for forgiveness and ask God's people for forgiveness as well. Right? We're very gullible. We need to stop that. We need men and women of God to speak into our lives to make us well-rounded so we're not gullible. Number three, we need people speaking into our lives so we are not crazy. Have you ever made the correlation that people that are like serial killers, they're usually the loners? My wife and I watch a lot of documentaries of serial killers, don't we, babe? And a lot of them say, oh, we would have never guessed. But in their lives, they were very secluded individuals. They did not rub shoulders with regular people. We watched Dennis Rader. Yes. He was a deacon in this church, but he lived a very secluded life. Listen, and he went crazy. Do you see the point, church family? We need people to speak into our lives. Having people, different people speaking to them, our lives, I don't mean church hopping either. How many of y'all still love me? I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here. Y'all come here. Church hopping is not in the Bible. I remember once I heard a guy When I was much younger, he said, well, Paul the Apostle went to different churches. That's because he himself established those churches. He was the pastor of all those churches. He spoke to the pastors of all those churches to encourage them. He was not church hopping. Many of times he wrote those letters from prison. But church hopping is not condoned in Scripture. The Bible says we should plant ourselves in a house of God. And if we plant ourselves, we will flourish like the palm tree. Have you seen the palm tree? Do you ever see footage of palm trees when there's a hurricane blowing? You know, they bend in gale force winds, and they'll come back every time. Come back every time. Because they are planted in the house of God. They are not crazy. How many of y'all know that people that go to one church and are committed to one church? I think one of the best things I heard when I was a young pastor, it kind of offended me at first. But now I see the wisdom. I remember one lady, on the first day I met that, I was my first day as a pastor of a church. It was in Kansas, actually. And this one lady named Dottie was her name. She and her husband was a very quiet type, but she came up to me. She says, there's nothing you can do that'll get me to leave this church. And I'm like, I don't want to, but now I see the wisdom, basically. And I've had others tell me something different. I've seen pastors come, I've seen pastors go, but this is my church. You know, that should be the attitude of God's people. Right? That is mature, that is quality thinking, instead of, oh, he keeps talking about Walmart. Oh, wait. I'm off. Try to reach them, nothing. But I hear from the grapevine, oh, I'm the cause of them leaving. You know, they're telling everybody else, why don't you come talk to me? Yoo-hoo. I'm ready to fight. Teasing. Do we need each other, church family? Do we need people to speak into our lives, to speak the voice of reason, speak the revelation of God? You know, go with me to Proverbs 29, please. Before we get to that scripture, I want to say on the crazy part, you know, people who are not planted in one church become very skittish. Let's remember that we all are sheep. I am a sheep. You all are sheep. And one of the characteristics of sheep is they become skittish when they don't feel safe. Well, how many of us know that if you don't stay put in one church long enough for you to be planted in that church, you're not going to feel safe just jumping around from church to church to church. And that gives people a skittish demeanor. I remember my in-laws, once again, sorry guys, I love you, I do love you, I have your Bible still. They got offended regularly. Oh, Lord. And at first when they would go to new church, oh, we love him, the pastor's so great. And then all of a sudden, boom, they quit going, we're going to go to this church. Why don't you go to that? I thought he was the cat's meow. Oh, no, you know, blasphemy and all this. And they always said, this is horrible, Lord, forgive me, Lord. They always said, the pastor was threatened by us. Okay. It's funny how every pastor of every church they went to was threatened by them, and they're the one common denominator. Okay. Anyway, Proverbs 29. But anyway, they were skittish. I remember when Clinton got voted into office. Oh no, that's it. Jesus has to come back now. There's no way. Jesus has to come back now. I didn't know Jesus was threatened by Bubba and his amorous ways. You know, let's move on. Scripture, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Notice, the people will run, the Hebrew reads like this, where there is no vision, where there is no redemptive revelation of God, the people will run as wild, untamed horses. Isn't that interesting? Wild, untamed horses. Interesting. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read verse 14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of what? Teaching or doctrine, right? By the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. Notice, we need to grow up in Christ so that we're not tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Amen? We need to be grounded in the Word. We need to be grounded in the Word. All right, that's enough. Were you blessed by the teaching of the Word? If nothing else, you got a few chuckles. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for your Word. We ask, Lord God, that you help us to grow. Help us to understand, Lord, what's at play here. That we need each other. We need to hear the voice of God from a reliable source. Lord, not of all of these crazy, weird, help us not to be weird Christians. Help us not to be gullible Christians. Help us not to be crazy Christians, running with, like chickens with our heads cut off, little chicken littles, constantly crying out, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Help us, Lord, to be about our Father's business, doing your work, Lord God, being found occupied in the fields of harvest. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.